Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on, it's about keeping everything secure.
Hey y'all, it's your girl Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the sweet and lovable Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, aren't you a little crackerjack?
You know, I'm feeling like a crackerjack, and you know, maybe have a little present inside me. We are here today to talk Below Deck Down Under. Before we get into that, a gentle and sweet reminder that you only have until Friday to watch the replay of the Golden Crappies, and we highly recommend it. It was a great show full of laughter and singing and dancing and special guests. It really was a wonderful career highlight, I would actually say. So go check that out. That's crappens.com. Crappens.kizwee.com. Just go to watchcrappens.com. That's where you'll find it. So go check that out. It's a wonderful, wonderful stream. They did a great job. Everyone online has been saying it's actually the best our live stream has ever looked. So thanks to Kizwee for that. Also, we have a little bit of a break before we go back out on the road. But then in March, we're going bonkers, okay? We're going to Cincinnati, Minneapolis, Toronto, Charlotte, Atlanta, D.C., and Philadelphia, home of the Super Bowl winning Eagles. So maybe Saquon Barkley will come to our show. Who knows? You never know. Either way, that probably will not happen, but you can come to our show and we will have a great time. So watchcrappens.com for all those tickets. And then of course, Patreon, you can watch us on video. Hello, people on video, Crappens on demand, and bonus episodes of The Traitors, which who doesn't love The Traitors? Anything I missed, Ronnie? Did I get it all?
No, your neck looks so strong. You've been working.
Does it?
I can tell. Yeah, you have like cartoon. You have like cartoonishly
Wait,
strong.
Let me move this. No, this. You know why?
Yeah,
know
it looks why? Good. It looks so toned. It's because and strong.
It's only because this T-shirt is like I actually sewed this T-shirt and I stretched the neck by accident when I was sewing it. So I think it makes everything look kind of like.
Oh my jacked. God! Make me one. You look.
I will.
You look like Gaston or Gaston, as they would say on Southern Charm.
Oh my God! This does look really good now that I see it. That's making
yeah,
me look
it looks Albania good.
There.
It looks hot. Yeah, you go, boy.
Hey, bro. Hey, bro. I got a defined neck.
I can hug you.
By the way,
the working.
Paul, by the way, yeah. By the way, Summer House is returning this week, so excited to do
yeah, that. Summer House comes back. Summer House is coming back, and guess what? The Denise Richards show is coming up soon. So,
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
It's gonna be good. All right, let's get to Below Deck Down Under. Now, this is one of those episodes where you have to remind yourself, this takes a few episodes, right? I don't know who any of these people are. Who are these people? What are they talking about?
I don't remember.
Why aren't there crazy people? Also, Below Deck Down Under, I feel, I'm just going to say it, guys. It's maybe controversial. Just kidding, it's not at all. I think Below Deck Down Under should stay on small boats. And I think Below Deck Sailings should stay on small boat. And I think the other ones should have bigger boats. I like Below Deck Down Under smaller. I don't like this big production on Below Deck. I like it smaller and crazier.
I like, you know, I never thought about that. I do like the idea that classic Below Deck should have the biggest boat, but I don't know. Below Deck Down Under has been so good. I think they've deserved a big, I think they've earned their big boat. So I'm actually okay with it. I love the addition of a sous chef like that. Every time we go to a scene down in the kitchen, it is just so awkward for me. Like, I cringe. Like, it's giving me a different energy than I've had on Below Deck before. Like, normally it's always like, oh, do your job, or oh my God, you're a bad leader. But like the chef and sous chef situation going on, I just am like, I just tense up every time we go to that. And I really like that. That's a nice touch for me.
Yeah, I like it too. I just want it to be on a smaller boat because I like more of a fly-by-night operation on these shows, you know, where they're like kind of making it up. It's more community theater vibes.
Would you have preferred this to have been on a boat that used to be a Japanese trawler back in the 70s?
Yeah, you see? That's classic.
Now, by the way, I have to give a shout out because we often talk about the turtle that they cut to inevitably on this show. They do a lot of marine life on Down Under. You know what? I think we have a new star. I'm not saying it's replacing the
turtle. I know who you're talking about.
You know?
Yes.
It's the moray eel.
I'm not going to steal it from you. It's the eel. It's a fucking eel. You guys, that is the cutest eel I've ever seen. Like, I've never wanted to hug an eel before, but I totally want to hug an eel. He is so cute.
And he is fabulous too. When he that extended shot of him coming out of his hole and just going up and just rising up, you know, I was like,
slowly, he's like taking his time and like. He was like in a sitcom from the 80s where they were like, "Eel, it's your turn," and then he just like turned to the camera. He's like,
he did.
His mouth was open. He was like.
He's like the Rip Taylor of eels, you know? He's like, hi.
Guys, that is the cutest thing. And then, you know how sometimes I feel like I'm psychic? And so, like, I'm always looking for signs. And Ben knows this. I'm ridiculous with it. But this was one of those moments. And also, I'm reading a Western right now that's so brutal. Like, everybody just dies. And so, it makes you think about, like, how will I die? And so, I saw that eel, and I was like, you know, one of my fears used to be getting eaten by eels. I would love to get eaten by this eel. I imagined myself just getting eaten by this eel, and I was just like giggling the whole time because he's just so cute while he eats me.
Yeah, it's got these, if I remember correctly, it sort of had some spots. I mean, it was just like a classic moray eel, and just, you know, it had that like Mr. Roper face, but somehow it's like cute in this context. And yeah,
I was gonna say Mr. Furley, but you're right, it was Mr. Roper.
Mr. Roper,
that little smile, oh my God,
he totally has Mr. Roper face. And
we have to find pictures of him.
Maybe he is, you know, he's not Rip Taylor. He's honestly just Rip. He's just Stanley.
He's Mr. Stanley Roper. Stanley Roper. Yeah.
Stanley.
And the turtle can be Mrs. Roper, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Then we have to figure out who the rest of the cast is. Well, that may be a season endeavor. I don't know.
Yeah.
No one's really made a splash. Like, there was a parrotfish that had, like, a moment, but only because it was called out. Someone was like, there's a parrotfish. So, of course.
Yeah, and you know who I'm sick of? The fucking drama queen stingrays.
The stingrays, like, stingrays are everywhere.
And they're such, you know, like, you murdered Steve Irwin. Like, I can't
with
you. And, like, I'm not going to, like, come to this show where we're glamorizing stingrays, okay? I'm not going to have it.
They really are just, you know what, the stingrays are kind of like Larry on Three's Company.
They're always coming in uninvited. They're always around.
But, like, never really adding to the entertainment value of the show. It's like, go back to the Legal Eagle.
Whoa. Are we going to really start this off with some Larry slander? Larry was amazing. What are you talking about?
You love
Larry? I love Larry. Yeah.
Really? I always loved Larry. He was like fine, but like he was no Janet. He was no Chrissy. He was no Terry.
No, here's why Larry was great. Because he wasn't fine at all, but in his mind, he was so fine. And he was all about like picking up the chicks, and like his shirt was always unbuttoned down to his belly button. But he's like gross. He's just like so gross. And I think that that's the first time I really understood. Because, you know, that I was a little kid when that came out. And that was the first time I really ever understood the concept of like even ugly straight white guys fail upward just because of confidence. Yeah. You know, I never really learned confidence, but still, it was always a goal, you know, because of you, Larry.
Larry really proved a lot of things to us. He taught us a lot of things. Did they go to the Legal Eagle or is it the Legal Beagle, by the way? I said Legal Eagle. I think
the Regal Beagle. The Regal Beagle. How dare you? But Legal Eagle was a movie with Deborah Winger.
Thank you. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
From roughly the same era, a little bit after. But okay, thank you.
Yeah. So by the way, if you're driving in your car right now and you're wondering, why am I listening to this? Here's your answer. I don't know. Okay, so let's start. We start with Serena, who's downstairs with her sous chef, Anthony. And Anthony has just basically told her off in his way. He's like, we could be working harder together. And she's like, okay, well, do you want to be more involved in stuff? And he's like, yeah, for sure. She's like, okay, well, would you be excited if you got to go and do the beach lunch today? How would that sound for you? And she's really leaning into her Ruth Buzzy face. Have you noticed?
Yeah. That, you know, that's like,
oh, I'm excited. I want her to like beat him over the head with a purse.
Yeah. You know what? That is how have we never observed that she really is just Ruth Buzzy? Like, this really is an episode of 70s Stars, isn't it? Like, so we're going to pull someone from MASH.
It's old men talking about Below Deck. It's our new era. We're just old bastards. That's all.
Who here is Maureen Stapleton?
Yeah. So he's like, okay, I can do it. And she goes, and then I can just crack on. He's like, okay, fine. So then the skeevy guest, all these guests are like old dudes with like young hot women. A couple of them still maintain their like same age wives, but you know they're on their way out. You know, I feel bad for
yeah.
There's one woman who I'm like, you're way too old for that guy. He's about to cut you and go switch you out for a 25-year-old who likes anal beads. Sorry. It's just how it happens.
Yeah, these were definitely some trashy people. So this guy's like, well, you know, you're gonna go fuck right here. And she's like, oh my god, you have your microphone on. He's like, yeah, it's raw. I don't care how many cameras are looking. I'm like, well, we don't want to see that. And thankfully we didn't actually have to.
I know, but that's why he's there. It's like he paid to go on a TV boat to prove to the world that his wiener still works. And if it worked that well, you wouldn't need that many toys.
Okay? Or steroids. Just pointing out
the obvious. Hey, so wait a minute.
No, that guy's definitely on steroids.
Hey, I put testosterone in my butt. Let me tell you what. It doesn't do anything. I mean, I maybe get 2 more boners a month. I don't know what everybody's on about putting testosterone in your butt. That didn't make me any manlier.
I just love that ever since we went to London, you've come back and you always say, I don't know what they're on about. It's like this funny little like Britishism that you say really? Quite a bit, actually. Yes.
I never
like,
said well, that before.
Maybe you did, but I just only have noticed it relatively recently that you'll be like, and listen, what is she on raised. About?
Well, I think I've said it a long time because I was raised in my young adulthood by Absolutely Fabulous. So that came a long time before. But yeah, I don't know what they're on about with that testosterone in your butt because everyone's like, oh my God, you're going to feel like such a man. It's going to change your life. It didn't do shit. Now, granted, making me feel like a man is a tall order, I have to say. I think they're only legally allowed to put so much inside of me. But I got it tested and they were like, well, your testosterone is normal. And I was like, but why do I still just want to like, I don't know, cry to commercials and not get wieners? And they're like, I don't know. Yeah. Can't help you. You're beyond our help, sir.
Some things testosterone can't fix, you know? So then Harry is, he's with Brianna. Brianna's the girl from New Jersey, the redhead. And he's like, let's make some beds. And she's like, all right, bed making 101 on super yacht. And he's like, is this the butt plug room? Oh. And she's like, no, it isn't. And he's like, good, because I need gloves in that room. I'm not touching anything in that room.
Loosen up a little, Harry. Literally.
Yeah, come on. Get out of those budgie smugglers and put on some boxers. Loosen up.
Yeah, you're like 22 and you're skinny. You should be trying more things.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Anthony is talking about making crew lunch and he wants to make focaccia sandwiches. And Zarina's like, no bread like that. He's like, no focaccia. She's like, no, Jason wants like fresh fish and salads and stuff like that. And he's like, all right, fine, whatever. He like clearly wanted to make a splash with focaccia.
Yeah, he was like this is my big moment to show off my focaccia skills. And she shot that right down. So she's like, I know where you're coming from. Really, I do. I'm so sorry about that. Just no focaccia. And he's like, okay, so you're not going to do any prep up at all for this barbecue? She's like, no, I'm going to help you. I'm going to anything you need. I'm just not going to the beach. And he goes, what's your position in it to make the crew food? Excuse you. You just asked for more responsibility. And the second she gave it to you, look how you act. You act like she's like sloughing off and giving you her fucking work. You're a little shithead, Anthony. You're a little backbiting shithead, Anthony.
He is, because like he was right. He was not being utilized properly last episode. But now she's like, okay, well, you can go and cook for the guests on the beach. And now all of a sudden he's like, well, that's your job. I mean, get over yourself. So yeah. She's like, I'm not making you do my job at all. I asked if you'd like it. He was like, no, yeah, I'm happy to. I actually love to. Yeah. She's like, no, if you'd like to go to the beach, but I'm not, if you'd like to go to the beach, then go to the beach, but I'm not going to cook for any, or anything like that. I was going to completely prepare you and send you on your way. And then like, I want you to come and have some fun. She's basically like, I'm still going to do the cooking. You're going to execute it. So relax.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm not making you do my job. Don't worry. And he tells us, well, I'm not trying to attack Serena here, but suddenly I'm going from being a dishwasher to doing beach canapes. It's a bit weird. You asked for more, and she's giving you more. Stop your bitch. I mean, talk about somebody with too much testosterone up their butt.
I know. Fragile man, really. Like I knew the moment that this guy walked in talking about, oh, he's worked under a Michelin star person, and then seeing that he has to, like, you know, cook under a woman who is not a Michelin star, I knew he was gonna
do you know how many talented people I've worked under?
Yeah. Yeah. Many. Many. Like,
for instance, a hot beef injection does not a Nobel Peace Prize win. Okay, sir. Yes. So she's like, I'm just giving you this opportunity. So don't stomp around in my galley like a 3-year-old. All right. So then Jason is looking for Lara, but she's changing and she's going to be with the guests. And so Serena checks with Lara, who is still crying. Okay. They show Lara crying in this. It's like a 20-minute segment of Lara crying. Lara, you are not cut out for this if you are going to cry for 20 damn minutes. There is no crying in Chief Stewing, ma'am. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're going to cry, make it quick. Fucking A, man. This is too long. Do you know how much? There's only been one episode. How did they even have that much to edit in of her reasons for crying?
Yeah, I'm surprised, because I remember on Classic Below Deck, there was that one I forget her name. Was it like Claire or Agnes or something like that? She was right after Kate left, whatever her name was. And there was like a horrific first charter. The guests were terrible. And then she had totally inept stews. She had that stew that created mustard gas, that one episode. So like, and I remember she just broke after that first episode. She started crying.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't feel like there was definitely chaos happening last episode for sure. There was timing issues and going up and down those stairs, et cetera. I did not think it was like a sob worthy moment, but she sobbed and they made it dramatic. They made like the sound of her heartbeat and they're like, oh my God, Lara, oh, the pressure's on Lara. And then Zarina comes in and just is like, oh,
they even showed like one of the memories was like, she's sobbing because she didn't know to have spoons. And then Zarina said, could you put spoons on a tray and take them down? And she's like, that's not fine dining. And that was one of her reasons for the breakdown. I was dying watching that. I thought it was so good. You know, all she needs is to go to a Starbucks with the supportive barista who puts things like this on their cup. You rock.
Yeah.
You rock.
That's what
I saw that and I was like, thanks.
That was so nice. Did you tell them your name is You Rock though? You're like, my name is You Rock. You're like, you kind of like,
no, but they accidentally, their printer was broken. And so they printed me twice and they made me two of the same drink. And I was like, oh, I didn't order two. And she said, well, it's your lucky day because our printer broke. So you get two. And so I was like, oh, so I took them, you know, because I don't piss on manna from heaven. I put it in my knapsack. And so I took it. And then I noticed this one said, you rock. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if the other one says something. And the other one said, you're so special. And I was like, you know what?
Really?
I feel less special now that you're just writing this on every cup. You know what I mean? What the fuck? Mm.
Thanks, I would have been better if
me just feel like some random John.
I know, it's like too much praise, actually. It's too much praise for a fragile gay, you know, ego, you know, like we can't take too much. Yeah. It only takes so much before we're like, we're not special anymore. By the way, that being said, Lara crying was a disappointment. But other than that, I actually really like Lara a lot because she is a perfectionist, and I love a Chief Stew who's a perfectionist because A, they're more neurotic, and B, I love when they are, it usually means that they're meaner to their stews. And we see a little bit of it later today, which is like, that's not how it's done in yachting. And I was like, oh, I love that passive aggression. So far, like, I'm actually pretty pro Lara.
Well, the thing is, perfection. People who talk about how much of a perfectionist they are always fucking things up. Have you noticed that? There's never someone who's like, I'm such a perfectionist that's actually like perfect. They're always fucking up, and that's why I like it. Also, I like her because she has very insecure eyebrows. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is she does the thing where you like put them on with a magic marker, but they're not quite right, and so now she's stuck with them. And I think that your eyebrows say a lot about you, and I think she's got very terrified eyebrows. So I'm all for her.
Also, she has disdain on her face at all times, and that's really my number one qualifying, you know, like, characteristic for me to really enjoy you as a Chiefs do. Disdain.
Yeah, we love some disdain. Yeah, for sure.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
UFO lands in Suffolk, and that's official, said the News of the World. But what really happened across two nights in December 1980 when US servicemen saw mysterious lights in the forest near RAF Woodbridge and claimed to have had a close encounter with an actual craft?
Encounters, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, takes a deep dive into one of the most famous and still unresolved UFO encounters to ever take place in the UK, featuring shocking testimony from first-hand witnesses, hosts, journalist, podcaster and UFO researcher Andy McGrillan, that's me, and producer L. Scott, take us back to the nights in question and examine all of the evidence and conflicting theories about what was encountered in the middle of a snowy Suffolk forest 40 years ago.
Are we alone? Encounters is a podcast which is going to find out. Listen to Encounters exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or in Apple Podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me? Well, on Baby, This is Keke Palmer, we're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's going to change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Chani Nicholas. Y'all, if you want to understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely going to hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby.
So we get Lara's monologue, and guess what, you guys? You're going to be shocked. So she's like, I'm a bit hard on myself, a bit too much of a perfectionist. And I think it maybe comes from, wait for it, trying to impress my dad. Oh, for fuck's sake. Dad's out there. Could you do better? I mean, Jesus Christ. Bad fathers are like a factory for reality stars. Like, they just pump out so many neurotic reality stars. Get it together, dads.
Now I know why she was crying, because, like, cut to a flashback, Hope Float style, where she's like, Daddy, I brought you a fork and a knife. I needed a spoon. That's it. I'm leaving you and your mother.
And she's just standing on the street as the car drives away, like, Daddy!
I found a spoon! And then
you just see something fly out the side window and hit her on the forehead, and it clinks to the ground, and it's a spoon.
I thought I could get over that trauma, but I just relive it every charter.
So she talks about how her parents divorced when she was three and her dad remarried. And this lady already had three children. And she's like, you know, he basically found a replacement family and dumped us, which is so sad. But you're also entering onto Below Deck, where they're going to dump you and get a new chief stew next year, too. So it's like, I don't know. Stop the cycle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's gone from an impermanent family situation to an impermanent land situation. Now she's just always out in the world. So
she's just out there with a Sharpie, just trying to do her eyebrows once every 6 months and fucking it up by a couple of inches. And then it all goes to hell after that.
So Zarina's in there right now because she actually wants to go to the bathroom, but now she's consoling Lara. And Lara's like, my personal standards are dropping and I hate that. I mean, that's what's killing me because I've worked so hard to get to where I am, but who knew? Sauces need spoons. Oh, God, I'll never get it right.
So Serena comes in and she just hugs her, you know, and I think that's a sweet friend who doesn't hug her.
Yeah,
I mean, because I'm not a good friend, because I would be hugging you going, that's okay. Just remember a spoon next time. Just remember a spoon. Like, I'd still be kind of sticking it in there. But Serena doesn't. She just hugs her and stays quiet.
Yeah. Well, I did like, she had like a tray or something, and she just starts to fan. She fans Lara. Like, all right, let's fan these tears away. No need to cry over the fact that you forgot to put out a spoon. Only one of the most basic utensils out there. Okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Oh, you just went to the bathroom before me. Great, great.
Yeah. So then Harry is working on cabins a lot, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And I think he's flirting with Brianna. So then he goes to the beach with Weon. And Harry's like, so organized chaos. It's all right. Everything's all right. And he's like, what did you have to do this morning? Pins. I did pins. It was so amazing. I never got to the butt plug room, though. God, I hope I don't have to go there. I feel myself clenching in anticipation.
And then Weon is like, well, I'm so glad that you can take initiative and do your thing, because Lara's really stressed. I'm like, wow, is this a bosun who's like happy that someone from the deck crew like actually helped out the interior? This doesn't make sense. He's never going to last.
Oh, but he's a guy from Beefcakes. The most sensitive guys in the world. That's my favorite thing about him. He used to work at a place called Beefcakes.
That's
right. So then Serena is talking to Sue Anthony, and she's like, well, I think we should do all the salads as raw and fresh and light. And he's like, perfect, perfect. I mean, there's quite a bit of fat on there, isn't it? Like, you know, you're prepping some steaks there. It looks like quite a bit of fat. So way to go against your own rules.
He's like, all right, I'll just do it on the barbecue. So then Lara goes to the beach with, and Marina is serving the guests before they go. And so Jassy, who is one of the guests, is like, hey, so your experience on yachts. And now, ladies and gentlemen, act two of the Below Deck Childhood Trauma Olympics begins. It's an Olympics game that's also a performance. So it's an act two of the Olympics. So Marina is like, yes, I've been working 3.5 years now in the industry, and I'm working to become a chief stew, like the chief of the department. It's a gorgeous place, so it's not so bad, honestly. And now she tells the story of life in the favela.
Yeah, so she wants to make her family's life easier because she grew up in a very humble house, and they always lived rent by rent. And when they couldn't afford the rent, they would go to the next place to rent. And it was tough. Grandpa was in a wheelchair because he had a disease. The dad left, so Grandma had to work 2 or 3 jobs. She took care of the whole family. And then we see, and then she says, her mom, and 13 cousins. I mean, that's crazy. Y'all get a job. Oh, why is the grandma doing it? Jesus Christ. And they show her mom. Her mom looks perfectly fine. What was her mom doing? You know?
Also, maybe like wear a condom. I'm just going to put that out there. Like, that's a lot of kids for grandma to have to support. Okay. Sorry.
That's just a lot. Poor grandma, man. But this is really sweet because she just wants to save up her money to get grandma a house. Well, I hope that you know that you're the person who gets all of grandma's money, because that would suck if you did that and then your grandma left everything to your mom, who wouldn't even get a job to support her, according to you. Well, I'm worried that Marina's gonna get fucked over by her grandma. Isn't that mean? I know the grandma's supposed to be the hero of the story, but I'm like, Marina, she's fucking you over. It's all a trick. Marina, run.
I would love it if this entire story were false. Like, Marina were just like a huge liar and had this story about like my grandma, my 13 cousins, then grandma had to do it all. Grandpa was in the wheelchair. Like, and then it turns out she's from like Costa Mesa, Orange County.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like from a really rich single dad in Costa Mesa.
She's fine. She's fine. So with the then, yeah, she's just a huge grifter. I would love that.
But I like that she's a small-time grifter, because she's like, I'm going to grift my way up the yachting hierarchy.
Yes. So we have 2 cliches so far, which is we have the I'm a yachty because daddy left. And we have I'm a yachty because I just want to get a house for my mom or my grandma. So those are like 2 standard
ones. And because dad left.
And daddy left. I
mean, not to be mean about that, but it is part of both stories.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just what it is in yachting. And of course, we're waiting for our trifecta, which, as we know, will be inevitably a child in Florida somewhere. or Alaska. Can't wait to see who it is. Who has
somebody
a child?
Somebody has a child somewhere, yeah. For sure. Do you think it's
I'm doing it all for my child.
Vian?
Yeah.
Do you think it's Vian?
I'm going to say Vian. Vian has a child somewhere, and he's doing this all for his child.
Yeah, he has, like, sad I miss my child face, for sure. He's got, like, kind of a sadness in his eyes. Like, I have a daughter somewhere. And I'm ignoring her right now, which means she'll grow up to be a Chief Stew wannabe. Dun, 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 the cycle. Below deck, the cycle continues. All right, so Harry is talking to Laura, and he's like, how's the interior? And she's like, oh, I mean, they're really good. And he goes, okay, well, who's first and who's second? Give me the tea, girl.
And she's like, well, I haven't appointed anyone yet, but Marina definitely does have more experience because it's a small team and she also has a grandma story. So, but I don't know. I don't want to become, you know.
A hierarchy.
Yeah, and how about the chicas? How are you feeling about the chicas, Harry? That's girls, Harry. I know you're looking at me with strange eyes. Girls. It means girls.
I don't know. We'll see. It's too early. You need to talk to them properly, you know? Get to know the ins, the outs, the wants, the needs sort of thing.
Yeah, probably is not.
Poor Harry. Well.
Yeah, poor Harry.
Harry doesn't have any game. And he hooked up with someone last time, right? But didn't he cry a lot? I felt like Harry cried in bed a lot.
He tried with Margot. You know, and he was like, really, he was crushing on Margot and they sort of had a thing, but she wasn't really feeling it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Friend zone. That's going to be Harry's journey in life. So then, now the food is, going on to the tender or whatever. And Vihan is it Vihan or Vihan?
Vihan.
Vihan. I'm like, Vihan. Vian is talking about steak and everything, and they're talking stuff, food and steak and beach picnics and stuff. And then Johnny is saying, Johnny is the guy from Greece, and he's like, first impressions matter most, and mine, it was not so good. But I want to show the rest of the team my leadership, and I'll be the lead deckhand aboard of Katina. So... I don't know. You know what? I kind of liked Johnny this episode. Last episode, I was like, fuck this guy, this arrogant motherfucker saying he's the lead deckhand. What a fucking asshole. But now he's like humbled and now he's kind of sweet and I like him again. And by again,
yeah, I mean,
the first time.
Yeah, he's cute. I feel like he's just a road rage person. He's the kind of person you just don't want to cut off on accident. You know what I mean? Like he'll follow you to the marshals and threaten to beat the shit out of you. He's just that guy.
Yeah. He's clearly toxic, but I'm kind of beguiled by him this episode for no good reason.
Yeah, but so are cigarettes. And I love, you know, I love those things. I love a lot of toxic things. So bring it on. So Laura is like, wait, who's Laura? Hold on, let me think. Oh, Laura's talking about meat. She's talking about meat with Anthony, the sous chef. And she's like, so the meat is ready? I mean, the meat's going to be ready when they're ready? And he's like, yeah, just sitting here. It's cooking through pretty quick. So, yeah, I know what I'm doing. You know, I've worked under lots of big people. You know, I've got a butt tattoo that says Emerald on it. So make of that what you will.
So she's like, okay, well, what is this cut? Lamb chop. She's like, oh, okay. So she serves it and a strawberry balsamic salad and lamb and salmon, whatever. And so Anthony is telling us, I've always been a bit of a food snob. When I was growing up, my mom would cook a big meal and I'd be like, this is delicious, but maybe a little bit more seasoning there. So you're a little prick. You're a little asshole.
A
little snob. Asshole. That's what you were.
Piece of shit. Little brat.
Yeah.
You would have been an orphan if I was your mother.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I do think me and Zarina have different approaches to being a yacht chef. I mean, hers may be a bit more chaotic. Mine may be a bit more structured and rigid, but my meticulous nature just comes from being passionate about food. Like, something's not right. I remember that, and I play it back in my head. So you know that there's something really satisfying about, like, serving something perfectly seasoned, like a perfectly balanced, beautiful-looking dish, you know? Like, okay.
Oh, for
yes, we like our perfectly seasoned food, but, like, please don't make that your personality.
Yeah, also just like make my steak. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just make the steak. Just do it.
Yeah, get off the toe shoes. Like for fuck's sake. And also, if ever I want to hear a backstory, it's his mother's. I want to hear his mother's. Like,
yeah.
Here I was working 30 jobs just to make him happy. And I'd make him a potato and he'd say, witch, this is unacceptable, throw it against my face, and then make me start all over again. To this day I still don't know how to make a proper baked potato.
By the way, you don't win an award because you like your food seasoned. Okay, congratulations. It's called being a human being.
Wow, you like salt.
I know. Ever since I was a little kid, I always liked my food to be properly seasoned. Really? Wow. What an innovation. You know what? I don't like. I don't want my food to be properly seasoned. I don't like that. That's amazing that you like that.
Can I just tell you something? I'm so sorry that I keep bringing up this stupid Western that I'm reading. It is so dark, Ben. Yes. Here's what happens. Okay. It's just so brutal. Every page is like them getting into some skirmish and everybody dying. Okay. That's the whole thing. It's a Western. So they're like, the enemy started a fire and burned all of our people. And all of our people were trying to jump over a cliff to not die from the fire. And basically, I didn't jump over the cliff, but I hung onto a tree or something. So I didn't die. But then when I got back up, there was a horse and it was fried. So I ate it. I just chopped into it and I started eating the horse. That's the whole thing. They just keep going through and just like killing something and just biting right into it. So when I hear this guy, I'm fried like, wow. Horse.
Great.
So when we get to this, I'm like, wow, we're so lucky that we have salt.
I know. We really are lucky. I mean, salt's been around for a while because you could just go to the ocean.
I think they had salt too, but I don't think they always had it on them. Like they didn't have adobo. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. They definitely didn't have salt like readily available. Like if you were in the middle of the country, if you're in like Lonesome Dove Land, which I assume is like somewhere between Texas and Montana, isn't that the whole story that they're
going? Texas. Well, this one's Texas and Mexico, but yeah.
Oh, I thought
I'm reading the whole Montana. I'm reading the whole four book thing. So it started there's four Texas books and they're on their way to Mexico.
I thought it was one book. That's a lot of doves. Girl, they're not so lonesome anymore. It's a lot.
I read for like 3 hours and then it's like, you're 1% of this book. I'm like, oh my God, I can't take it. This is too brutal, but I can't put it down.
You're reading it on the plane and I looked over to look at the page because I was curious to see what like a slice of Lonesome Dove was like. And it was like, there was some guy who had like two names. It was like Bo's Dexter. Or something like that. Do you know who I'm talking about? It was like Bo's or like, Dart Bo's Bo. It was like Bodine. Bodine said, "We got to go yonder." And then it was like, and then Muriel said, "But what about the fried horse or whatever?" And I was like, "What about
the fried horse?" No, but
was
I'm glad that
Bodine or Bo something.
No, there's someone named Call, and there's someone named
Yes. Beth.
And there's someone named Bigfoot, and there's like Longface Bill and Bigfoot Bob or something.
There was definitely someone who had two names.
And then there's Matilda the Whore. Matilda the Whore is my favorite because she just like her opening scene. They basically take a hooker around with them so that they have somebody to please them or whatever while they're, rangering. And Matilda is like a big girl and her first scene is just being naked in the river and she catches a snapping turtle and stabs it and eats it for breakfast. And I was like, that's my favorite kind of whore. A snapping turtle catching whore. And let me tell you, I'm 1,000 pages in and Matilda's still with us. So
that's great.
She made it longer than anybody else. And guess who didn't talk about any daddy issues? Matilda. Matilda. Took the turtle by the tail.
Yeah, I guess you didn't complain about seasoning. Matilda, you need that snapping turtle. Let me tell you something. Listen, if you're going to take on a snapping turtle, that is impressive because those things, they will bite your fingers off.
Yeah, they're monsters. Anyway, I'm sorry to go into Lonesome Dove, you guys. My point was seasoning. We should be grateful. So shut up. Shut up, sous chef. That's my point. Okay, so then Jason checks on Serena, and she, he's like, how you doing? How's this charter going for you? And I like that she tries not to throw that little shithead under the bus, because she totally could have, and she didn't. She's like, he's great. He's great. Let me tell you, he's fantastic. The only thing is, I'm obviously just so blunt that maybe sometimes when I say stuff, he thinks like it's a confrontation, and it's not really a confrontation. So Jason is seeing this as like, well, she's difficult, and she makes her own problems. So I gave her a sous chef this year, so good luck.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, whatever. I mean, like, it just seems, it's going to be difficult, especially because, I look like this. So obviously it's distracting. And Jason's like, All right. We're still doing those jokes. Okay. Got it. So now the guests come back from their beach thing because they're going to go on a submarine tour on an adorable, smiling red submarine that's so cute on the top. And then down on the bottom is basically like a coffin, but that's okay. So Marina is saying, you know, when your boss allows you to go on excursions with the guests, sometimes this is a real test to see if you can handle about going above and beyond. And, you know, I want to be Lara's right hand. So I'm going to be here for whatever she needs, just like Grandma. And I will not be able to sleep, take a shower or eat. But YOLO, at least I get to go on tiny, tiny cramped submarine. Excited for that, I guess.
So then Vion is talking about how he wants his deck team rested, and yesterday was a massive day. First day of charter, working in the sun all day. However, I understand where Jason is coming from. Jason can be rest assured this won't be happening again. By the end of the season, we're going to be best friends. Beefcake to beefcake.
Oh, wow. Vion seems like pretty good manager so far. I'm like he's like nice. He's happy when his team helps out at the interior. He wants to make sure they're rested. Now he's like, oh, I will never make this mistake again, and I'm going to work on our friendship.
Yeah. Now, what mistake did he make?
The
guy floated away without a radio.
No, but he had his crew sleep in a little bit instead of being up, and so that was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he'll be awful. I know we'll see some side. I'm just enjoying him now while we still think he's nice. So then Zarina's asking Anthony about the beach, and he says that they seemed happy. And she says, all right, well, the menu for tonight is cowboys and cowgirls hoedown, Lonesome Dove style. And there's going to be a beef chili, a vegan chili, a jacket potatoes, a snapping turtle, and a lobster platter.
Yeah, and he's like, well, wait a minute, how does lobster come in? And she's like, because they want surf and turf, you know? And he goes, oh, surf and turf? Okay, fine then. So it's a surf and turf hoedown, lighten up. Because, oh, okay, so that's surf and turf then.
And then she's like, yeah, I mean, like, duh, if I'm having a hoedown, I always want my surf and turf. I don't know what you do. She's like trying to make jokes and trying to like kind of, you know, be like funny or whatever. And he's like, he's like, he's kind of trying to banter with her. But also, like, what sucks is that you can see, like, honestly, a male chef would not have to make this banter to try to like win over the sous chef. The male chef would be like, just do this. But like, this is what sucks. I am getting on a soapbox because I do think it's much harder for like women in this in like cooking and restaurants, and it's fucked up. It's bullshit. He should just be giving her respect because she's his boss, and that's it. She shouldn't have to be sitting here trying to endear herself to him.
Right, but I think that's the thing, because you said like a male chef wouldn't do that. No, a male chef would have no problem being a hard ass and saying, this is your job, shut the fuck up, I didn't ask your opinion, fucking do it. And I think she feels the need to placate him and be nice to him, and that's where it's like he doesn't understand that kind of power dynamic, and he's going to take advantage of it. He's going to run all over her. Yeah, he's going to run right over her for being like that. You know, you can't be like that. You have to beat him into submission, girl. Beat him into submission.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So now they get on the submarine and Marina falls asleep in the submarine, which is kind of funny. And they like wake her up. Like the guy's like, hey, sorry, wake up. By the way, whether we're there or not, dinner's at 8 o'clock. Is that okay? Because like we want to have dinner at 8 o'clock no matter what. Because this guy Blair is like a real hard ass about timing because he was really upset the other day when like he told them 8:30 in the morning for breakfast, but then he got up there at 8 and breakfast wasn't ready. Then he got pissed about it.
Which was his fucking fault too.
His fucking fault.
No, because wasn't it something that he said he wanted breakfast at 8:30, but then he got up there at 8 and it wasn't ready. Exactly. So he was all mad. Yeah, is that what you said?
He was all mad.
So this guy's such an asshole. So
what a dick.
Also what's funny is Marina just gave us that speech of like, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that, I don't stop. YOLO, you only live once. I'm going to do everything. And then she sleeps. She falls asleep. Like immediately after the monologue.
Yeah.
So this is a weird plot point because now he's like, whether we're there or not, dinner needs to be there at 8 o'clock on the dot. And she's like, okay. And he's like, so you need to tell the chef dinner has to be at 8 o'clock on the dot. Do you get it? Whether we're there or not. And she's like, okay. Well, that's crazy. She can't do that.
It's stupid. What a stupid person to request that. Stupid.
You were the one who fucked up the time in the first place, butt plug.
Yeah. Like, it should be dinner is served when you all get there. Don't yell at the staff. Yell at your friends to get ready. So then, meanwhile, back in the galley, Anthony's asking what he wants, what he should do. And Zarina's telling him to prep the lobster tail. And she's like, so what were you like as a kid? And he's like, oh, you know, just like chilled. You know what I mean? You always throwing mother's baked potatoes out into garbage because they had no seasoning.
I was pretty chill. Unfortunately, I had to recook everything that was ever served to me. So that took most of my time. And she's like, so no getting arrested? Or what kind of chef are you? You know, do you have any tattoos symbolizing your heroin addiction? And he's like,
I'm just trying to give you an opportunity to say, oh yeah, I used to be on drugs and cooking saved my life. I used to live in the gutter and I would have been dead by now had I not discovered cooking, blah, 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 blah. Standard chef monologue. Come on, it's your moment.
Do you have a child that you're deadbeating somewhere? I mean, come on then. And he's like, nope, nothing, just a good person. And she's like, God, fucking hell, man at arms coming home in the police cars, freeze the taxi. It was ridiculous for me. And he's like, disgusting.
He's like, whoa. So then Lara is talking to Adair, because I forgot that Adair A existed and B is a deck stew. So Lara's like, all right, tonight for the theme, I'm going to leave the entertainment up to you guys if that's good, because you're American and I don't understand this cowboys and cowgirls thing. As far as I know, back in England, what we have instead are crumpets and clotted cream. And that is our theme for our special events. So please, you take over.
And Adair's like, oh, okay, lasso, I'll do that. And then I can teach him a little dance. I just need him to be able to get in line and count to 8. She goes, well, that's expecting a lot, but good luck to you.
I don't know what any of this means, but you just do that American thing.
Yeah. So then Harry's helping Brianna again. And she's like, actually, I'm quite impressed with your stew skills, Harry. He's like, oh, really? That's amazing. I've cleaned bathrooms on boats before, you know. I've got lots of experience.
Yeah. And she thinks she likes him. She's like, oh, do you have a home base? Or do you, she's like, do you have a home base? Or are you just like boat to boat? He's like, nah, no home base. She's like, oh, that's cool. She says, I like Harry. He's a positive energy. I think he's so sweet. We're going to be best friends. I was like, damn, he's already been friend zoned.
Already friend zoned.
The flirtation hasn't even started yet.
Yeah. And he's like, breathe way above my league. I look at girls like that and I'm like, Not even worth trying. And yet here you are making your 9th bet of the day.
I know.
Oh, poor Harry. Bless his heart.
Bless his friend-zoned heart. So now they come back from the sub and they're going to take a nap and everything. And then Marina goes up and tells Lara that the guests are very adamant that they want everything on the table before 8 o'clock. It doesn't matter who is there. They're going to start eating. So 8 o'clock. And so Zarina's like, okay, fine. And then I guess Marina told Zarina that. And then Lara is speaking to Johnny. Who's Johnny again? I'm blanking on it. Oh, Johnny. Guy. Greek.
Johnny the Greek.
So she's asking if he's, she's like, are you free? What are you doing? He's like, free like relationship or free for your time? She's asking to get into a relationship with you right now.
Yeah, Johnny, she wants you. She's like, no, please hang these decorations, you idiot. So Serena's like, for this dinner, I just think rustic hay bales, greasy hands, smoky flavors. Prior to this charter season, I was in Arizona, so I know what to do. They cooked all sorts of meat. You know, there's baked potatoes, corn slaw. I mean, literally served on wood. It was like eating a trough or something. I just felt I was very cowgirl, eating with your hands and the dirt, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's, it's very like lonesome dove, you know, fried horse, snapping turtle puree soup, horse serving food naked.
No. So she's like, so Anthony, we have to explain the dishes. Would you like to come up with me? And he's like, I don't mind. You can go. I'll come up at the end. Oh, really? You want to come up at the end and act like the fucking chef? Of course you do. Get your ass with me right now, sir.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, I'll just tell them which ones you may. He goes, no, no, don't. Just do it as is. We're a team in it. And then he basically says, oh, thanks.
You see what he's doing though, don't you? He's saying, don't do that. We're a team. So I can take credit for everything. Like all those pictures that he showed before when he's like, here's my 5-star service. And then he's showing all these gorgeous, you know, magazine worthy pictures. How many of those were his and how many of those were his chefs that he just took pictures of and he maybe helped
exactly
with, like, you know, exactly, fucking cutting a carrot.
Exactly. Congratulations. You put some sort of like mushroom soil on a plate. So Anthony is like, which I hate when chefs describe
it. I know you hate a soil.
And here on the side is this, is a pistachio soil. No, it's pistachio. Don't say it's soil. Stop that.
Soil's so gross. So,
and you know, I made like, I was cooking the other night and I made a pistachio za'atar, which was very fun. And when I was mixing, you have to mix it with your hands because there's lemon zest in there and the lemon zest clumps. So you have to in their hands and it felt like dirt. And as I was doing it, I was like, I bet if this were at a restaurant, some asshole would say, and here's some pistachio soil. Because it felt like soil, but I wasn't willing to call it soil. Because
yeah, good. Good for you. Stand against the
man. I'm an adult. So Anthony basically is like, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want them to think I've cooked that. Just because the theme's basic doesn't mean the food has to be basic. If it was my menu, I would have been out there at the barbecue making it a more immersive experience. You know, some short ribs, slow cooked, you know, yeah, slow cooked short ribs, perfect for a barbecue. Mm-hmm. So he goes, you know, we could have even done a hot sauce platter where you make different scotch bonnets, different sauces, different spices. Possibilities are endless.
Shut up, dude. Okay, go ahead and do it. And you're not, it's not immersive grilling in front of them. Give me a fucking break. It's not a Benihana. You're not going to be throwing it in their fucking mouth.
Don't invoke the onion tower in front of Zarina, Ronnie. But that was a sore point for her last year, as we saw.
Yeah, they showed it today. Yeah, they showed it today. It was really funny when he's like, well, you know, Serena does make her own problems. He's like, it's going to be like a Benihana. She's like, not doing it.
Now, that being said, I do think that this meal could have been a little bit more upscale, but I don't know if these guests really needed it to be up. I think the guests were not very upscale people, so it was fine. It could have been a little bit more refined, but I don't think you needed to have like a scotch bonnet hot sauce platter that gets passed around.
Definitely. Yeah, it's cowboy day. I mean, give me a fucking break. So Serena is telling Anthony, are your lips real? And he goes, oh, yeah, so if I get my lips done. She goes, are you upset with me? And he's like, why would I be upset? Why would I be upset, you basic fucking nothing of a woman? And she's like, I don't know. You just seemed angry for a minute though. So now the timing comes in where the guest has asked for this to all be out at 8 on the dot. But of course, the guests are not up at 8 on the dot. They're getting ready and taking their sweet ass time. So Marina comes into the galley and she wants the food. And so Laura's like, but are the guests even there? And she goes, no, but they asked me to be before 8, so they will come. That's what they said. And she's like, well, Blair said that if we're not there by 8, bring it out. So let's just wait. And she's like, but Blair said bring it before 8 because then they'll come. And she's like, if they're not there at 8, bring it out. And she goes, well, he said something completely different to me. So he said,
oh, no.
Was it a dream? Was it real? Did he really say it in the submarine?
Sorry, everything froze. I think my computer was like, wait a second, there's a new mouse. But okay, I'm back. Sorry, yes, Laura, continue on. I'm discombobulated.
So it's just timing. They're just talking about this, whether it's served at 8 or whatever. So then Laura's like, well, the guests are not going to be happy finding the hot food, now cold food, because they took an extra 10 minutes getting ready. I mean, the food needs to be hot. I mean, sorry, but sometimes I know better than the guests. Which is true.
What were you?
You don't serve food to an empty table. That's crazy.
What were you hoping would happen? Because I couldn't tell at that moment. There was part of me that didn't want Lara to fuck up again because I was I didn't want her to be a fuck up. But then there was part of me that also felt like it was obnoxious that like she was disregarding the message that Marina was sending. So like, I kind of wanted the guest to show up at and be like, "Where's the food?"
No, Marina was doing that thing where she's like, "The guest is always right," and I think that that's something you have to do to a degree, but Lara knows guests are stupid. And if she actually did that, the guests would be mad and they would also be right if they were mad. So she's like, nope, you don't serve guests. I'm glad she stuck to her guns and didn't listen to an underling. Because if she listened to somebody lower in rank and fucked it up, that would be very bad. You know, that would be a very bad foot to set right at the beginning.
Yeah. So
example to set, foot to set. I don't know why I said that.
So Lara is she's like, where is everyone? And the like match would be cold right now. So Marina realizes that she messed up. She's like, now I learn. But Lara is right. They're not here yet. I could do better. I'm like, this is shocking. After Below Deck Below Deck Sailing, where the stews were like, well, you know what? The only reason why I gave that message is because Daisy didn't inspire me to give a better message. So it's not really my fault. And you know what? I don't even like Daisy's leadership in the first place. But here they're like, I can learn from this. I really made a mistake. My boss is right. I'm like, this is so strange.
It is weird. Yeah, I don't need Marina to like self-flagellate over it or anything, but
yeah, relax.
It was interesting. So then Serena's like, okay, here's some lobster, here's some steak, but apart from that, everything's vegan, even the cornbread, which is not that easy to do vegan, by the way. And so they're like, thanks. And now Adair and Marina.
How do you do it vegan? Because you can't have an egg in there. The egg would be the real issue, huh?
And the
because you could do it with almond
cream,
milk,
the buttercream or whatever, or the buttermilk. Don't you use buttermilk and biscuits? I'm not biscuits. Cornbread. I guess you don't use
buttermilk
and cornbread all the time.
I just use like Mark Bittman has a really good cornbread recipe in the New York Times that uses just milk. But I've done it with almond milk before, and it's like not as luscious. But the thing is, there's an egg in there. I think. How do you do it without the egg?
I don't know. Some things you can use applesauce for an egg, but I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to put a pin in
it. We should look up a vegan cornbread. Try it out.
I'm sure. Should I look it up right now? Is this a marching order? Vegan cornbread.
Yeah, recipe. What do you put in there? I want to know.
Okay.
Everybody needs to know.
Here, how about the best vegan cornbread by Nora Cooks? Okay, Nora. Oh, God. She goes, hello, I'm Nora. Okay, jump to recipe. Enough of you, Nora. Jeez.
You know, my husband loves cornbread. You know what? He hates animal products. What's a girl to do?
Well, let me tell you what happened when I went to the post office this morning.
Here's what Nora has to say. This is it. The best vegan cornbread, just like mom used to make, but vegan. Soft, tender, and sweet with just the right amount of cornbread texture. So she uses flour, cornmeal, sugar, salt, baking powder, unsweetened almond milk, canola oil, and I guess that's it. Okay. Well,
canola oil. But there you go. There you have it.
But I mean, I thought there was eggs.
Well, you know what? Not in vegan cornbread.
Maybe not. Maybe there never was an egg.
So now they're clearing dinner, doing all that, and the deck is getting ready to do a cowboy performance. They have to do a line dance, and they're shirtless for this. And Harry dances as the shirtless horse. And so it's just a hooting and hollering great time. So then Serena tells Anthony she needs help cleaning, and he does. And he's actually being kind of decent for this 5 minutes. So then Bree is giving a cabin rundown while checking her work. And so Bree's like, you know, perfectionists can usually be seen as someone that can be overbearing. I mean, with Laura, the way she just appreciates yachting so much, she's someone I look up to and I admire. So whatever she needs, I'm here for it.
It's like, what's happening in this season? The standard line on Below Deck is, you know, perfectionists are so overbearing and they just like don't see the bigger picture. And like, they just make my life. It's like a power trip. Like I am not here for it, but they're like, I love that she's a perfectionist. I love that she's like making me go back and refold this sheet 15 times until I get it right. Yeah. Like I'm really learning a lot.
There is something about the format that definitely needs that.
If I were Chief Stew.
We need that character.
Yeah. I think we kind of get one later. Of course, that's the American, so that makes sense. Although Brianna's American too.
Brianna's American too. Yeah, and there's also too many Americans on this.
It's like two Americans. Too many. So Lara is saying how like, the guests are nice and everything. And Zarina's like, yeah. And she goes, you know, if it had been anything worse, I don't know how I would have done. Dinner was perfect. And then Harry's talking to Anthony in the room. And Harry's like, yeah, are you happy with the crew? And Anthony's like, yeah, the crew's nice and everything. And he's like, well, what about Zarina? And he's like, well, if she worked a bit cleaner, it would be nice. It's like, well, sir, you were the one who was supposed to be cleaning and you complained about cleaning and now you're not cleaning and now you're upset that there's no one to clean things. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
And Harry's like, so what? Do you just have to clean up behind her then? He's like, yeah, it's just like a mess everywhere. You know, it's just dirty. That's just not how it works. You know what I mean? And he's like, well, I'm sure if she said, I reckon you could be a bit cleaner, she'd say, yeah, okay, I'll try. You know, she wouldn't take offense. It's just about how you word it. If you go in guns blazing, like, I have to clean up after yourself. I just made myself so uncomfortable right now.
And he's like, yeah, that would come the third time.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. We're all so scared, Anthony.
Yeah, relax.
You arrogant little fuck.
Sorry you didn't get to make your hot sauce platter. You don't have to unleash your toxic.
Sorry you didn't get to do a variety of scotch bonnets.
Sorry you didn't get to make a slow roasted short rib, yet paradoxically wanted to barbecue it too. Sorry.
Sorry it wasn't immersive enough for you.
Yeah, sorry you couldn't use your immersion blender to make it more immersive. Idiot.
Dumb, dumb. Okay, last day of charter. It's already 90 degrees in the morning. And Lara's asking if Adair can do cabins. So Adair's like, but wait, they're turning up cabins? Why would they be turning them up? I mean, they should just strip everything. I'm going to go tell them that. They should just strip it. So she marches up to Lara like she's going to like school Lara on something. And it's like, so are y'all going to turn up the rooms? Shouldn't we just wait and then strip everything once they leave? I mean, they're only here for 2 more hours.
She goes, no, that's not how it works in yachting, darling. They have to be made perfect this morning, which, ooh, I love when British people just condescend to us Americans because sometimes we really deserve it and we need it. And you know what? Like Lara being so patronizing to Adair in that moment was just chef's kiss for me.
Well, you're going to tell a Chief Stew that you don't want to make up the rooms in the morning? That is completely stupid. And then she's like, well, my idea of guest treatment and her idea of guest treatment are so polar opposite. You're from a mud boat, ma'am.
I forgot about that.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You're only here because you thought you were going to get abducted and you seem to be down for it.
Yeah, you idiot. Go make a bed. So Lara's like, well, Adair isn't used to working on a super yacht. So, you know, I give her a little leeway, but God, this isn't Motel 6.
Hold on for my British friends. It's an American thing, a trashy American motel that thankfully is restrained to North America. Sorry. Back.
So now breakfast is being served and Bree's working on cabins with Adair. And she's like, well, we really have to pull all the wrinkles out because Lara wants all the wrinkles out and she wants it very tucked. I mean, she's amazing, isn't she? Cool. I just want to make her happy. I just, you know, I'm going to change this one because I don't think I can get the wrinkles out the way Lara likes it. I'm going to change it. And Adair's like, oh, God, just tuck it in for fuck's sake.
I know. And they do a really good job. I really want to learn the ins and outs of how to make a bed like these stews. So then now it's time to go back to the dock. Time to dock at the dock. Better to dock at the dock than dock at not a dock. That would be awkward. That wouldn't be the first time it's happened with Captain Jason. So then Jason is like, well, first time docking, it's a little bit of wind. So I'll need some good calls on my port side, you know. And then we see Jason as being like, all right, everyone, spring thigh, chicken bone, wings. And also like, Jason, are you putting in an order right now or are you giving us commands? A little bit of both.
Look, a bit of butter on a hot skillet, ain't it? All right, we're going to need good communication and planning. This is the test. Let's go. So Vian's like, all right, Harry, that forward leading spring, that's got to be your last one. After spring, first, breast, swing around the side, breast, under, butter the lid, butter the lid, butter the lid, butter the lid.
He just suddenly converts into doing a cattle auction. All right, there's a little bit too much chatter happening here on the radio. He's like, okay, busy, $50, $50, $45. Like, all right, I'm a little bit too much chatter here, I think.
It's Lara's childhood all over again.
So they're getting in closer.
She was named after a horse, remember?
Yeah, Lara the
horse. So Weon's just talking too much. He's like, okay, Captain, clear the turn. Eggs on the skillet. Hash browns coming down. Hashbacks coming down. Got some cholesterol on the grill. Wait for it to melt. Get a little bit melty. Sizzle. Bacon.
Shrieks on the china. Never mattered before. No one cared. That's dropped.
Greens, greens, and nothing but greens. Parsley, peppers, cabbages, and celery, asparagus, and watercress, and fiddlefins, and lettuce. He said, all right. But it wasn't quite, because I caught him in my garden one night. It's like, all right, could we please do less into the woods on the radio? I'm trying to dock a goddamn boat.
So it's more like Vian is just kind of giving too much information, and then there's a lot of stuff going back and forth, and the boat pretty much is like as close to crashing to the dock as can be, because the poor fender just gets squeezed into a pulp and I think pops at one point. It's that fender gave its life for this docking. And Jason's very embarrassed because, you know, he kind of has a reputation of crashing
into docks. Yeah, he really does. It's like, this poor guy just can't get a win, you know? And Vian, actually, his problem is over communication, which is rare. You know, it's a weird season. He's just communicating too much. And he's like, please shut up on the radio.
Too much. So they get up, they dock. And then everyone says goodbye. It starts to rain and everything. And Mark is like, so I just want you to say that the food was exquisite. And, you know, just like the authenticity, the integrity, and just feeling our personalities. I've got to say, just wonderful, excellent food. The sort of food you'll always remember. Like, I don't care how many anal beads are in me, because I'll know I had such good food coming out of me earlier. So, you know, what a great time. And Anthony is just like, he's like shocked. He's shocked that they thought the food would actually be good.
Yeah, he's such a little asshole. So then they meet at the bridge, and Jason is like, yeah, coming into docking. We've got to find our feet. You know, I mean, Jesus Christ, point to the lines. I want the line on. I will say the communication on the radio was intense. All right. It was a lot. So what I want, I just want 5 meters, 2 meters, kick forward, clear on your port side. That's it, bosun. And he's like, okay, I'll stop talking so much. He goes, Audiobooks.
That's where you go. It's like, it was just so much going. It's like, it's just so much going on that radio. It's like audiobooks. So then Johnny tells us, he says, like, I've been impressed with Captain. He's a very motivating guy. You know, when a boat shit happens, and you know, it just is what it is. And we're here to fix it in a silent way. I think he's the expert in that. So big respect to Top G. Nice. I was like, wait, so the egomaniac is like chill with the people who are over him. Something is wrong with this season. Everyone's way too like mature and responsible.
Yeah, I know. They'll all go to hell soon. So Serena's like, oh my God. I mean, I think Anthony sees me as like a new stepmom and he doesn't really want it, but he has to put up with it. But I think we're finally bonding, or he's just humoring me. But either way, it's working much better now. So,
now it's like super rainy, super, super rainy. And now it's time for the tip meeting. He's like, Jason says, congratulations, everyone. We got the boat together, a lot of hurdles. And I think it's a big effort from Lara to get everything going. And Zarina's done a great job in the galley as well. Okay, so here's the tip. It's $20,000. $20,000 US, which only matters for two people on this entire cast. So congratulations, everyone else has to do conversions. All right, so that brings me to my old friend, and he pulls out the disco helmet, and he acts like he's going to give it to Johnny, because Johnny got himself stranded in the middle of the ocean on the jet ski. But instead, he gives it to Vian, because Vian's in charge of him.
And also Vian fucked up that docking too, but he doesn't give him shit like that. He's just like, you were in charge of the idiot who lost the key or whatever. So, you know, you have to wear it. And Serena's like, maybe you should wear it on the jet ski. So if you get lost again, we can find you.
Anthony's all mad that people chuckle. He's like, really? They thought that was funny. So
then we find out that Lara's in yachting because she's saving up for an old barn, which I'm renovating. I manage the bills myself. I pay all the bills. There's a little house in the back for Dad. He's never visited.
I can't imagine how many spoons are in that house just waiting for him. Dad, I got your spoon.
Dad's house is completely built from spoons. It's all made out of spoons.
She's like, I'm just going to live there. Be my forever home one day. Just me and the dogs. And that's it. Me, dogs, and a lot of spoons. So then Vian is saying that he's got his helmet on. He's talking about how he's taking one for the team and everything and blah, 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 because he's got the helmet on. So then now they're all going to go out. And this entire episode, there have been like little moments of like Vian and Brianna kind of like encountering each other and being nice. And there was like a moment where like his shoes were squeaky and she's like, hi, Squeaky. So he's like, Brianna's definitely the prettiest girl on the boat. And I truly believe I do have a shot with Bree. Usually I will develop a crush pretty quickly, especially when, you know, it's more person like Bree, who was a former model for Vogue, you know, someone like that I'll tend to develop a crush for. I'm like, yeah, you think? She's like the pretty girl.
Yeah. Yeah, the hot one. I like that they all make it sound like some romantic story when they pick the prettiest girl on the boat. They're like, oh, yeah, it was meant to be. Although I will say, I think it might be meant to be between Vian and Bree because they are the exact same color. And I don't mean just their skin, like their hair even is the same because it's not the most normal color, right? It's kind of like a strawberry blonde, but like, I don't know, latte colored. I don't know how you would explain it. Yeah, but they're like the same color rust. You know, it's like they've both gone under kind of, yeah, they've both rusted to the same degree. So I think they deserve to be together. They just look like they go. I don't know how to explain it, but I was like, that's just such odd coloring that they both have the exact same hair. You know,
I didn't notice that with his hair. I noticed with her hair. When I think of him, I don't think of his hair. I just thought, I feel like, is his hair spiky? It feels like it's spiky.
It's like greasy. It's like kind of greased and I don't know how to explain it, but no, rusty. It's not spiky. But yeah, their hair color is so similar that I think that, I don't know. I think Rackish. People with the exact same hair color fall for each other. I don't know. I guess we'll see if it works out.
Especially, I mean, like, you know, with gays always, like not always, but like there is a large segment of gays who date their mirror image and it's hilarious. And it's also, I feel like it's so egotistical too. And like you see these gays and they pose together. They have the same facial hair, the same hairstyle, same hair color, same body type, same fashion. And they do it all the time. So this is sort of like an extension of that. It's like, well, your hair is rust colored and mine is rust colored. So we should probably date them.
Yeah, we should be together forever. I mean, yeah, gays do tend to date ourselves, which is why I'm single. Like, I've got better taste than that. All right, so Harry is checking with Serena. And so they're all out having a good time, you know, and Laura and Anthony are talking. And Laura's like, so what's your background with cooking? And he's like, well, when I was a kid, I've just always been good at it. You know, I mean, no, it sounds arrogant, but I don't want to be arrogant. I really just, you know, I don't really carry too much of an ego. That's me. No ego, me. No ego, Anthony. That's what they call me. And Serena's just kind of over there biting her tongue, like, really?
And then Harry's talking to Zarina, and she's like, so my sous chef, has he said anything bad about me? And Harry could have just said, oh no, he seems to really like you. But he goes, he sort of like laughs and smiles like, I know something. And he's like, well, he says he's been doing all the cleaning up after you. And she goes, well, yeah, you should, because he's my sous chef. I'm sorry, but that's what you're supposed to do. And he goes, I'm not disagreeing. She goes, you know, first chart, I've already let him do guest food because he's complaining. So I have to fucking suck up to him. Oh, I have to clean up. I'd love to clean. Okay. If you don't want to wash up, then you go get a fucking head chef job and tell someone else to clean it. Definitely in need of a cigarette. And then she just storms off from the table.
Yeah, and she's like, he has one job to do, and that's have my back. And instead, he's talking shit about me to the other crew members. It's just so disrespectful.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, she's right. But also, don't ask that question if you don't want to hear that response, because she kind of suspects that's the response. And now she gets the response, and she's like, wait a second. The only answer was, no, of course not.
Well, I hope that her reaction to this is just to toughen up on Anthony in the kitchen and demand respect. And I hope it's not, let's have a talk about this. Because that's just not,
yes,
that's not what this guy's going to respond to, you know?
He's not. He needs You know what he needs? He needs a stern mother who doesn't give a fuck if her baked potato was seasoned or not, because she had a long day at work, and that's what he's going to get. What you get is what you get.
Yeah, and, what you get is what you get, you little fuck. You know, when you learn to hold a fucking skillet, you can do it.
Yeah, exactly. Earn the respect, and then you'll get the opportunities. Don't come in entitled to them.
Yeah, and if Anthony's mother is out there and needs a place to vent about this little fucker and what he was like growing up, feel free to give us a call. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it. Thanks, everyone, for being here today. Fun times. And we have all sorts of shows later this week. So we'll look forward to hearing from you there. And then, of course, don't forget to get your tickets to our Mounting Hysteria tour, which is resuming in March. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C, Dana Do.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Annie.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kerr.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.